Thanks for checking out the Greater Church podcast today. We're praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message would be encouraging to you. And now, here's today's message.
Hey, I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 11. And it says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them the livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off," that's a great place for you to underline. "But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older brother was in the field. And as he came, drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and he asked, 'What are these things? What do these things mean?' And he said to him, 'Your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' He was angry and would not go in. Therefore, the father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and I will always, and that always I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.'" Over the next few minutes, I want to preach to you from this idea or from this message, outside the house. Outside the house. I'm going to pray real quick. Father, I love you. I thank you right now in Jesus' name for everything that you've done so far in this service. And we're expecting because we believe that you're going to do more. So Lord, we just thank you right now for this moment. Pray that you would speak loud and clear to each and every one of us. Lord, I love you and I thank you, Lord. I can't wait to hear what you have to say to us, Lord. Lord, it's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. And amen. Come on, Greater Church, would you put your hands together one more time for Jesus? Oh, come on, Greater Church, we could do a little better than that. Amen. Hey, I'm excited because today I brought a couple of friends that are going to help me preach. My wife, Lydia, Sasha, and Jason. Can y'all make some noise for them? I'll switch it up a little bit on you, but over the last few weeks, man, we've been talking about love. And we've been looking at it from so many different angles. Eros love, which is this romantic love. Agape love, which is this unconditional love from God. And phileo love, which is this friendship love that we have. And storge, which is the family love. And it's kind of the angle that we're going to take today. It's from a family and an agape look. Why? Because here Jesus is telling this beautiful story. And please understand, man, that this, if we catch this thing, God has completely hijacked it. I don't know if you've noticed the last couple of weeks. And yes, we've been talking about relationships, but the cry of this world is saying, love me. And as we watch the things that have happened at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, As we watch these individuals, Fort Lauderdale, we can go down the line. So many of our neighborhoods are ravaged by these things on a daily basis. Maybe it's not affecting you here in Acworth or Kennesaw, man, but as you look at the landscape of our world is screaming out, love me. And man, if we were able to catch this, the very things that the first century Christians saw is the very things that we will experience. Why? Because they didn't win. The first century church didn't go forward on success on top of success. No, it actually went forward on sacrifice after sacrifice. They sacrificed of their times. They sacrificed of their talent, their treasures. They sacrificed physically, emotionally. They were ostracized. But you know what they kept doing? They kept pushing forward. Why? Because there were lost individuals that needed to know who Jesus was. And as they kept moving forward, we keep watching in the scriptures at win after win happen to the point that me and you are sitting here because of these disciples who sacrifice upon sacrifice build the church. Can I tell you, that's what we want to do here at Greater Church. We're not satisfied with just a group of people that are meeting here. The city of Acworth is already preparing in the next 5 years for an influx of close to 200,000 people that are going to be moving between Acworth and Kennesaw and the Woodstock area. This Northwest Metro Atlanta area is about to be inundated with people who are coming, and what an opportunity we have. For some of them are going to be running from something. Others are looking for a brand new start. Some people are finding themselves and they have no idea where they are, but they're moving up here and they don't even know why they're going to walk through these streets, but they're going to encounter you. They're going to encounter you. And when you give them the love of Jesus, when you're able to give them the gospel, when we reach them, we'll watch at the beginning now, when it's brand new and it's fresh, they're moving to it. And we'll watch on the journey 5 years down the road as we see so many countless people that are going to come to know who Jesus is because we stepped out of our comfort zone and we went out into this broken and hurting world. And I'm excited to watch those things. Why? Because so many of the people that we're going to talk about in this story, this illustration is a true story of what it looks like for the people who are out there. And Jesus has two groups. We talked about it last week. He had a group which were the Pharisees and the scribes. And then he had another group which were the tax collectors and the sinners. And Jesus was speaking to both of them. And he gives them the story of this prodigal son who takes everything that didn't belong to him because he wanted it now. He wanted it quick. He wanted it instantaneously. He goes out and starts wasting every single dime. And we find ourselves right here in the middle of this story.
So good. I love this story because you know, I think that we can find ourselves in this story. If you've lived life long enough, if you've gone through some things, I think that each one of us can find ourselves in this story. And I love it because it's the, you know, we all can identify the relationship with the parent. We all can identify with the relationship of a loved one. So here the son is. And so he goes to his father. He demands to his father his inheritance. First of all, God chooses the right people for these stories, because if he had chosen someone like my mom or my dad, the story would have gone a totally different way. You know what I mean? Like, I could not have gone to my mom or dad and demanded some money, because if I had, I wouldn't be here with you today. I wouldn't be living life right now at this moment. So here it is. If God had chosen my parents, it would have read like, you know, he came before his father and he asked for his inheritance, and his mom overheard and laid her hand across his head, upside his head twice, and then told him, go clean your room, go fix up this house, and maybe I'll think about forgetting what you just did. Right? So that's a horrible way that this story could have gone. But God chose the right pair for this story. And so here the son is, and he goes before his dad, and he asks for this inheritance. And, you know, we all, Pastor Chino just read, he spends all of his inheritance, he wastes all of his money, and he finds himself in this country with no one that he knows. He has no connection there, no relationship there, no community there. And so a famine hits this country, and so he has to sign himself up to be a slave. And then here he is, he's looking at the food that is being fed to the pigs, and he's looking at it with envy. He's looking at the slop that is fed to the pigs and looking at it with envy if he can just have some of that food. And I think, you know, as we've gone through life, I think that we've all found ourselves in a place where we necessarily didn't want to be or thought that we would never be because of a decision that we made. I think decision takes us down roads that we don't want to go down. Decisions have led us to some pretty dark places. And so here the son is, and he wanted what he thought was best. Children, if you're in this room, listen to your mom and dad. I'm telling you right now, parents, can I get a Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen? Parents, that's where y'all need to shout. That's for y'all right there. That's a golden nugget I just gave y'all. Listen to your mom and dad, because you think you know what's best. You think you have it planned out. And that's who we are as human beings. We think that we know what's best for us. And so we skip the process. We skip the order of things. And here he is. He thought he had it all figured out and planned out. And he ends up in a place of despair. He ends up broken and hurt and wishing that he wasn't there. And so I love it, because you look at this and he chose that moment. He chose the satisfaction over a life of fulfillment. He chose to skip the process. He said, you know what? Let me settle for this. He decided to settle and forfeited the life of success because of a decision. And as I look at the story, I the Bible says that he went to a distant land. But I believe that before he went to that distant land, that he grew distant in his heart. That in his heart, this idea that he can figure it out, or this idea that maybe the pleasures of the world are better than waiting on the inheritance of my father. Maybe the pleasures out there, the money, the success, the fame, or the notoriety, maybe that's better than being here in my father's house and enjoying the comfort and the peace and the home and the protection of my father's house. And here he is. He toiled with this idea. He toiled with this thought until it grew his heart distant from the love that his father was providing. And so I think that's some of us in here today, that I think some of us have experienced that in here today, that we've thought about things that maybe my life is better if I skip the process. Maybe my life is better if I enjoy the pleasures. Maybe my life is better if I just go out there and enjoy that one moment. Maybe my life is better if I skip what God is telling me to do, or what God has promised for me. Maybe I could go outside of that and enjoy something better. And so here he is, before he went to a distant land, grew distant in his heart. And I love the Bible, because it says in Luke 15, a couple chapters before, it says, Luke 12, verse 15, chapter 12, verse 15, it says, then he said to them, watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. And I love that scripture, because I think we can all identify that. I think we've all found our place wanting something or desire to attain something, believing that whatever that was, that it would benefit our life, that it would transform our life, that it would make our life easier. But can I tell you today, there is nothing that you're desiring, there's nothing that you are wanting to obtain that is going to change your life. Can I tell you, the quality of life is not found in what you have or what you don't have, what you want to attain or what's unattainable, but it's found in the love of Jesus. Yeah. If you gonna clap for Jesus, you better clap. That's good. But yeah, it's found in Jesus. It truly is. Like, I've found myself so many times, you know, whether it is funny, because you'll be on Instagram. Our life is based around like these social media platforms, and we go online and we see what people have and we see what people are doing with their life. And it can be dangerous, because we find ourselves believing that if we obtain something, if we have a certain material possession in our life, it's going to make our life better. It's going to make our life easier. We're going to be well off. But that is not true. The Bible clearly says that life is not found in the abundance of possessions, but it is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's truly found in him. And so as we look at the story, and here he is, he's in the darkest place that he's ever been. He's in the worst place that he's ever been. And in the moment that he's looking at himself and he is wishing for food that the pigs are eating, the crazy part is that what he is currently in need of, that never left. He left it. He left the house where the protection was, where the food was, where the comfort was, where the love was. He left that. It wasn't that the food had disappeared or that it wasn't available to him, but he was just outside of the house. I think that looks like our world today. I think that as we're in our marketplace, wherever we might be at our job or in school or out with some friends in our circle of community, wherever you might be, I think that looks like the people that are with us today. There are people in your life that are lost. They're away from home. They are distant. They've grown distant in their hearts. And all they are trying to do is satisfy this desire in their heart for something more. they're trying to obtain, whether it's the party or whether it's the money or whether it's the house or the car or the influence or the circle of friends, whatever it may be, they are searching to attain something that they believe is going to make their life complete. And here they are in their darkest place. Bible says that they were in a famine. I believe that is a representation of so many lives out here today, that there is this famine in their lives. There's this desert. There's no water. There's no food. They are just thirsty and hungry for something that's going to satisfy them. And that true satisfaction is found in the house. It's found in Jesus. And so wherever you might be today, wherever you might find yourself in that moment, you might be in the darkest place ever. Can I tell you that it's found in Jesus? Or you might be in that place where you're out in the circle, you're out in this world, you're out in a community of people, and there are people around you that are hurting, that are wanting something more, that are in this famine of life, just looking for the next thing that they could obtain to try to add ease to their life, to add comfort to their life, to add something more to their life. Can I tell you that in these four walls, those lost people are not here. They're outside these four walls. God has not called us to hide in here. God has not called us to just be cooped up in here and just keep it amongst ourselves, but he's called us to spread it, to share this love. And so today the call is not, it's not complicated. It's not over, you know, it's not over, you can't overthink it. It's just simple. God has called us to go into our world and reach the lost. Amen.
Yeah, I think that's like super dope that you talk about it in that way, because how many of us can say we've been there though, right? So like we're here and we're able to have this conversation because we're looking at this story, and we can say there's so many different aspects of our faith that we can see pinpointed in this story, but it's the fact that we can all say we've been there. And for some of us, we can say, maybe I'm still there. I'm still in that low place, right? I'm in search of something. I need something. There's something that I'm grasping for. There's something that I desire. And it didn't seem like it was in the house, right? So then there's that low place, which is here. And then there's the place where you actually understand the house does have all of your needs. How many of us can say we have a testimony in here? You've been in a low place and you've seen God bring you out. And I think that for some of us in our journey, we've gone through that low place and we've seen God bring us out. And then we turn around and we look at so many other people who are still in that low place. So what's our perspective when we're here? Like, we've seen the faithfulness of God, but then we still have to look over here where we see other people in their low place. And I think that's the struggle that we find ourselves in as believers in general, because we have this working knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he loves us and he truly is the only one who fulfills the desires of our hearts. But then still, there's a world of people. Sometimes it's your relatives. Sometimes it's your friends. Sometimes it's the closest people to you that you see day in and day out, and they're still in that low place. And then we grow this desire to snatch them out the fire, right? Because that's our God-given hope, that you too would see that God is faithful and that what you truly do desire is in the house and that you would come to this other side. But how many of us know that we serve a God who works in the midst of the fire? I think that in our faith, when we see people going through tough times, our first reaction is, man, I want to change their entire circumstance. I want to go out to where they are. I want to pull them out of that. And yes, that's a beautiful desire. But then again, if we would step back from where we are here, knowing God, and if we go back to our state of mind here where we were in our low place, how many of us know that the only reason why we can shout and praise like we do here is because we were here? I was low and I seen God bring me out of some of the depths of some stuff that I could never imagine I would have escaped. And to see that I'm here, my God is good. Worthy to be praised. He is glorious. He is mighty. There's never a place that's too far that he can't reach me. There's never a circumstance that's too crazy that he can't change, turn around, clean me up out of. And so then we look at people in their low place and we're like, man, I don't want you to go through that. But then if we remember that we have this God who's greater than any other being in the universe, who was there for us in our low place, his hand too is upon them in their low place, right? Yeah. So then it's not necessarily that we're not praying, God, I pray for their deliverance. God, I pray that you would give me strategy, that you would give me wisdom, that God, you would give me an opportunity to pull this person out of their low place. But what if our prayer is not only God deliverance, but God, yes, and still do it for them like you did it for me. My favorite verse in this whole reading, I have to share this with you. It says, verse 17, it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? I'm going to read this again, just the first part. And it says, and when he came to himself, he said. How many of us remember that point where you were in that low place where somehow, someway, the Spirit of the Lord brought you to the understanding that, wait, I'm in a low place. And you said to yourself, wait a minute. I have a God that loves me. I have a community of people who care for me. I have a family that's believing for me, that's praying for me, that wants the best for me. And you've come to yourself. And not to say that we ever get to that place on our own, but it really is the grace of God that can meet us in the low place. And so we're here in this place and we're seeing people who are still in a low place. And I think our prayer point needs to be, God, yes, give me strategy, give me wisdom, whatever I can do to help. But Lord, not only that, if it can't be that I can physically go pull that person out myself, Lord, let your fire purify their lives right where they are in the name of Jesus. And let the mind that is also in Christ be upon them, that even in the midst of their situation, while you're purifying, God, like it says in verse 17, allow them to come to themselves, that they would say, sorry. But that they too would say, man, I have a home. I've got some family.
Amen. That's so good, Sasha. And you are 100% correct. Let's take a look at the son in this moment, in verse 20. And this is where we find the son. And he has actually come to this moment where he realizes, wow, I need to go back to the house. I need to go back home. I need to change. I've made a mistake. And in that exact moment, not only does he realize that he made the mistake, but now he feels so condemned, so unworthy even to be the son. There's so many times even in our lives when we find ourselves in sin or we do something and we make a mistake and we, our immediate thought is we are not worthy. We could never come to the place where God can love us again the way that he loved us before because we've messed up so bad. And I know there's people here with lots of testimonies, and I've shared my testimony with some. But real quick, for some who haven't heard my testimony, I grew up in church. I knew right from wrong. I knew a lot of knowledge about the Bible. And at the age of 16, I decided I wanted to be rebellious. I knew a lot about God, but I didn't have a real relationship with God. I didn't understand who God really was. And I rebelled for 10 years of my life. I lived in a very ungodly lifestyle, and I decided to squander those 10 years of my life until one moment when God said, I'm going to pursue you, and you're going to turn. And at that moment, I turned, and I gave my life back to Christ. And in that moment, it's so crazy because just like the son, as he turned around and he came back, He decided, I need to go back home. He felt unworthy, and I felt unworthy. So many times I didn't even think that God could use me again because of the things that I had done, because I had known better, because I grew up in the church, and I knew right from wrong. I was told what I should do, and I decided not to do these things. And I decided I wanted to be selfish, and I wanted to squander my life away, and I wanted to be myself. And in those moments and in that those feelings of unworthiness, there was just times where I just felt like God was never going to be able to use me again. And just like the son, as he was in a foreign, distant land and he decided, let's come back. I'm going to go back. I don't care. I'm going to have to beg for forgiveness, and I'm gonna have to tell my father, I'm gonna have to actually go back to the house and bang on the front door and like fall down at his feet and please God, please Father, forgive me for what I've done because I was wrong, and just let me be a servant, just let me be a slave to you because it's better than where I've been, and I realize that I've made a mistake. And in that moment, as he was walking from the distant land into his own land, as he looks up, he realizes that his father is there and in front of him. And from a far way off, his father realizes that he's coming back and sees his son and begins to run to him. And this is so amazing because his expectation was that he was going to have to go back to the house. And it was even better than he could even imagine because as he came back, his father was right there with open arms ready to embrace him with love and affection, with compassion, it says in the word. It was an amazing love that if you even ask me, I don't even know if I could forgive the way that this father was forgiving. But isn't it crazy how when we've decided, and even myself, as I decided to come back to Christ, he began to show me his love and forgiveness, and he was pursuing me. So as I completely just turned around and said, I'm going to go back to church and I'm going to go back to Christ, he was right there waiting for me, just like the Father is waiting. He waits for you patiently. He's expecting. He has praying for you. The Father was, I'm sure, speaking to people around and his servants around him and his brother and saying, oh, your brother's going to come back one of these days. He's going to come back and he's going to feel the love that we have for him. And I'm waiting patiently and expecting for him to come back. And as the son reaches the father, what an amazing picture of love. Because the son's first inclination is, I'm so sorry. I've sinned before heaven and I've sinned before you. Please allow me to be a servant. I'm not even worthy to be your son. And what does the father do? It is the most amazing and most beautiful thing that you're going to be able to see in this story is the father completely ignores what the son says or how he is feeling in that moment and begins to say to his servants, no, go get me a robe. Go get me a ring. Go get me some sandals because my son has come home. And how amazing is this? And you say to yourself, wow, you know, I've come back and I just don't know what I'm going to do. And God just begins to put these gifts inside of you. And you say, well, how significant are those robes? How significant is the ring and the sandals? What does that mean to me? Well, let me tell you what the robe means. When the father put the robe on the son, he was telling him, I'm going to put this identity back on you. You were out in the world. And in the world, you became the slave. And you became the servant. And you were serving the pigs. And you were eating the slop of the pigs. But when you came back to me, I put the robe on you and the original identity. Your original identity as a father, you are my son. And that's what God does to us when we come back. He puts that identity that he created in you on you. Now you are no longer identified as that sinner. You are no longer identified as the prodigal son or the rebellious one, or no longer identified as the drug addict. You're no longer identified as the one who gossips and steals and lies. Your identity now is in Christ. Not only that, is when this begins to happen and your identity is restored back to what Christ had began in you, what happens is there's times where there's going to be other people. I'm sure there was people on looking around that said, oh, that's the prodigal son. That's the son who took all the money and left his family and decided to go off and do what he wanted to do. That was the one who was rebellious. And those people began to speak that back upon him. But the father had already put the robe on him. Not only that, is he gave him a ring. And the ring, what it did was it signified authority. And because those people began to speak that wrong identity upon his life again, the ring gave him the authority to say, no, my identity is that I am the son. My identity is that I can now put this ring on and now I identify with this family. I'm not the lost son. I'm not the one who went away. I am part of the family. And that's what God does for us as well. He will put an authority in you to speak against those who say, oh, you're just that person that used to do drugs. Oh, you're that person that used to be gay. You're that person that used to lie or gangbang or steal. But you're no longer that. You are no longer that identity, but you have the authority because God has given you the authority to speak against that and to take captive the thoughts that the enemy puts in your mind as well, saying, I'm not worthy, or maybe I am. Maybe I am that person that I used to be. Maybe I should go back to that life. No, you take those, you have the authority to be able to take those thoughts captive, and you have the authority to go against what people are saying and what the enemy is putting in your mind and make it obedient to what Christ says about you. And not only that, is as you're walking in this walk, you're going to see as you come back, your feet are probably dirty. This guy, the son, I'm sure he was a mess. He had wasted all his money. He had gotten rid of everything that he owned, and he was laying in the slop of the pigs. So he was dirty and he was a mess. And as he came home, I'm sure he had to get the servants to clean his feet, and I'm sure he had to put those sandals. And what those sandals signified was sonship. He was, when back in the day, the slaves were the only ones that would walk around barefoot. So as he was walking back barefoot as a slave, his father put sandals on his feet, stating, you are no longer a slave. You are my son, and I give you authority. And that's what God does to us as well. He gives us the authority, and he gives us the sandals upon our feet to be able to say, we are no longer slaves to the sin that encompassed us before. From our sins of our past are gone. I have forgiven you. I love you, and I accept you. And I put these sandals on your feet so that you no longer feel that you have to be bound to those sins, bound to that identity that is not who he created you to be, and gives you authority to be able to battle the thoughts and the idea to battle those thoughts and ideas that come against what God has created you to be. He is giving you purpose. And it's so amazing as we look at this picture of the son and the father, and how the son, he got everything restored back to him. His identity, he got the authority restored back to him, and he became a son again. And this is so awesome that this is, the picture is even so much more beautiful if you look at it from the perspective of the father, where that when the expectation was that he would be far, that he was right there, and he was there seeking him out and waiting for him. And it's so, so amazing how God does that as well, where he goes out into a broken world and sent his son Jesus into the broken world to help those who are lost, to help those who are slaves, to help those who are bound by sin, so that he can love them back into the house.
Amen. Wow. What a beautiful picture. Here's this son who lost everything. The son who said, give me all of my money, what I don't deserve, my inheritance, what the father so hardly worked for, saying, give me that. He goes away on this far land and he squanders everything, and he settles instead of succeeding. He finds himself giving up everything. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that he comes back to his senses and he thinks, man, if only I can go home. I had it better at home. And he has to go through this process. But in this process, it wasn't a bunch of words from individuals, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham said something that was beautiful. Billy said, it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict people. It is God's job to judge people. It's my job. It's your job to love people. Here we see this prodigal son who's sitting there in front of the father, probably a mess, like Lid was saying. But he's clothed in this robe, probably still smells like his past. There's a ring on his finger signifying the authority, one that the very people who took his money, the people who laughed at him, probably thought he would never get back. And yet he's standing there in the authority as an heir. Why? Because he's carrying the sandals. He's a son. He belongs to it. That's a beautiful moment that me and you have been in. For those of us who have called on the name of Jesus, we remember that day. 19 years old, facing 90 years in prison, messed up from the flow up, calling on a Savior that I didn't even know, calling on a God that I didn't understand, but I knew that my life couldn't stay in this place. That moment, the beauty, the strength of that moment, if I'm being very honest with you, as we go on through life, it begins to pale. The depth of that moment gets shallow. Especially when we get outside of that moment and we live this thing called Christianity out and we watch as so many people come to know Jesus. And we don't understand because we're on the outside of that moment and we're watching these people give their life to Jesus, go on the journey. And that significant moment to me and you has lost its allure. It has put us in a place where it's like, oh, that's awesome, man. Praise God for them. But we're not in the middle of it. We don't smell the destruction. We don't smell the waste. We don't feel how bad it was. And we're outside of that moment and we forget that people on a regular basis are going through that very thing. The son is finally clothed in his right mind. And there's a character that we forget in the story, which is the brother. Why? Because at the beginning of this sermon, Jesus was talking about two groups, the Pharisees and the scribes. And he was talking about the sinners and the tax collectors. But yet he was speaking to both of these groups. And if I could be honest with you, sometimes we could find ourselves in a place where we become those Pharisees and those scribes. Man, we've seen these people come to know who Jesus is. And if I'm honest with you, sometimes we can get so busy doing the right things. The Bible says that the older brother was out in the field. He was working. He was doing what he was supposed to do. Father, I've never left your side. I've been here the whole time. Why don't you love me? We've worked hard and we're doing the right things, but we can never forget that that moment changes everything in somebody's life. There's two angles that the big brother kind of represents here. Number one of this moment is it. Yes, he was outside and he was doing what he was supposed to do, man. And he completely forgot. Where was his brother when his brother said, hey, I want to take my inheritance and I want to go? Why wasn't he there? Why wasn't he trying to convince him? Don't leave. Stay here with dad. Why wasn't he in the whorehouse? Why wasn't he in the crack house with his brother? Why wasn't he there picking him up and wiping the pig sloth off of him? Come home. He was busy. He was busy at home. May we never get so busy at home and inside of these church four walls, reading and singing our little hill song and knowing how to worship and knowing how to read the Bible, that we leave a broken, hurting, lost world outside there. We need to be outside the house. We have to be outside the house. It's our responsibility to be outside the house, the broken, the hurting, and the lost. They're outside the house. We need to compel them and bring them inside the house. But if I'm honest with you, the other angle of this big brother is one that we struggle with sometimes. We've had that moment where we gave our life to Jesus and we got authority and we got everything and we're walking in it. And after a while, it starts to get a little stale and a little old, and our prayer time starts to go down a little bit. Our Bible reading and getting in the presence of Jesus, I haven't read this week. I haven't prayed as much as I should be. And you're busy with the things of God. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You haven't cheated on your wife. You're not watching pornography. You're not sitting there gossiping, but the relationship with the Father has grown cold because we're busy inside the house. And can I tell you that this picture of Jesus, it was for two crowds. It was for the sinners and the tax collectors, but it was also for the Pharisees and the scribes, those that were in the house, those that understood the law, those that understood God. Can I tell you that this is a picture that God loves both of them? But the Father turns to him and he tells him, "You were with me the whole time. Everything I have is yours. Come inside the house." He reaches us who are far from God, us who have never repented. But there's a moment in time where us as believers, those of us that have called on the name of Jesus, that we get so stale. The Bible says that we have walked away from our first love. That there comes a time that the Father needs to come out and find us because we've slowly drifted outside of the house. And here's this picture of God bringing you back into the house. It's a picture of God's love. It's a picture of God's grace. That he hasn't forgotten you. Whether you're far away or you're in the house, he loves the two of you. Hey, would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a second?
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach the lost and empower the found. We pray this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please help us to continue to spread the word by investing today. You can give at greater.church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on social media at MyGreaterChurch.